Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is Paul Segreto at Franchise Essentials, Franchising and Social Media Show. As we like to say, franchising and social media at its best. Today, I'm joined by my special guest host, Joel Labava, the Franchise King. Welcome, Joel.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, I see you have a new crown since our last appearance together.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I just put it on my Twitter profile, and we'll see what happens. But there was a $100 winner, actually a local Clevelander. So, Jim Evans, thank you so much for helping me pick it out.
Well, that's neat. You know, yesterday, I tell you listeners that are not aware, I was a co-presenter with Ginny Dietrich, the extremely energetic CEO of Armin Dietrich, on the Frantelligence webinar, Social Media Success Series. Yesterday was our free introductory workshop. And if you've ever presented a webinar, you know there's a chat box in the lower left-hand corner of your screen for questions. You're laughing, Joel. I think you know where I'm going with this.
Questions or comments, I think it says.
Yeah, question or comments. Well, you know, Joel actually heckled me via chat while the webinar was in progress. Thanks, Joel. I appreciate that.
Anytime. Well, as a matter of fact, every time.
Yeah. You know, just wait for your official coronation as the franchise king. All right?
Yeah,
by the way, what did you do with the old crown that I heard someone refer to as a popcorn bag?
Yes, the soft side version of the crown is at the corner of my office, and it's pretty much going to stay there unless I give it to the franchise mascot, Winston, the Airedale, who will just tear it up. But right now it's up high enough where he can't get to it, and I am really embarrassed that I ever even tried to wear that thing.
Nice. Well, you know, it's always nice to talk about your crown and to talk about your royal status. But in the spirit of separating church and state, okay, there'll be no biblical references. There'll be no social media Ten Commandments. There'll be no social media sins. And a matter of fact, there'll be no social media Adam and Eve, or as we referred to a couple of weeks ago, as Britney Spears and Guy Kawasaki.
can I make sure that we don't do one more topic or one more subject?
Okay, give it a shot.
Let's not talk about politics.
No politics.
Okay, no politics. I'm good.
No politics, and we're not going to touch Sean Kelly's reference to sex on a franchise blog today.
Oh man, Sean, I know him fairly well. He writes, for those of you who don't know him, franchisepick.com. Sean Kelly is a marketing dude for the last 20 years or so in the franchise business. Helped launch some brands, and he did a blog post last night or this morning called Beware of the Franchise Fran Bogies, and it talks about some interesting statistics that are fairly erroneous and pretty common in the franchise industry. So if you get a chance, check it out.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. It was I saw it yesterday. It was pretty interesting. I don't know. I don't know if anything's going to change. I think there's going to be a lot of these bogus statistics coming out, and I think people are going to need to do their due diligence and try to disseminate the truth from the fiction.
Well, I'm sure this is going to make a lot of friends, but, you know, the new franchise brokers, the new consultants who are basically downsized corporate executives and such who are buying these franchise consultant individual franchises, they unfortunately may be the ones that spout out the statistics like, well, yes, of course, if you get a franchise as opposed to an independent business, you have an 80% better chance of being successful and yada, yada, yada. So, you know, you got to be careful, folks.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's it tends to lead towards those type of issues. When somebody is doing some social media work for a franchise organization that might not quite understand disclosure and earnings claims. I've seen a lot of that written. It's very inadvertent. It's very innocent, I believe, in a lot of cases. But nevertheless, it's there, and let's not forget that the internet lasts forever. It can always be found. It could always be printed out. And as they say on different police shows, anything you say can be used against you in a court of law.
That's right. That's right. I don't know if you saw last week I did a guest article over at Franchise Direct, and it was about the franchise consulting and brokering industry, which I'm a part of, and about some of the newer folks and about some of the actual franchise brokerage franchises that put on their own websites, and I know you've seen this, Paul, executive-level income possible, six figures, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? People better be careful. Better be careful.
Better be very careful. I agree. I saw the article. It was very well written. There's another article there this week.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes. Go ahead.
Was there Elvis in the room? Is that what I heard?
He left.
Okay. Well, that's good. I saw another article on Franchise Direct yesterday, I believe, weighing up multi-unit ownership.
Yeah.
Did you have anything to do with that article?
No, I didn't. As a matter of fact, I tried to talk them out of doing it. No, I'm kidding. You know, a lot of people aspire to become, quote, multi-unit owners, and it's definitely a great way to go. You know, if you have the deep pockets for it. I remember when my late father and I helped sell out the Northeast Ohio region for Great Clips, which is the hair salon franchise. I remember that they really encouraged multi-unit ownership, but they really made sure that people started out with one, and then maybe a year and a half later did a build out. Now, weren't you a multi-unit franchise owner?
Yes, actually, I was, and as a matter of fact, Donald Cranford, the editor of Franchise Direct blog, posted a part of my article, an excerpt from my article, Fear and Consequence of Failure, and talks a little bit about my experience. I mean, I was very successful as a franchisee. I started out very successful as a multi-unit franchisee. And, of course, this was an organization that I had run and put a lot of franchisees into business, and then smack got hit with a dose of reality. And, you know, some issues had popped up. I kept my head in the sand. I can't blame anybody for it but myself. And took my eye off the ball and failed miserably and damn near catastrophically. And I think, you know, this, you know, really should be a lesson. It certainly was a lesson to me, and I tried to talk to franchisors about it. You know, and yes, capital is extremely important in looking at multiple centers. Being able to run it from a different standpoint, and as Donald points out in the article, about not, you know, looking at it from an emotional standpoint, you know, you get past that one location and you are very emotionally tied to it, and then you move on to the second one and it's hard to let go, and a lot of times the second one suffers. You know, even with all of that, if you turn around and don't teach franchisees how to be multiple unit operators, I think that's the key. I think that's where a big part of the problem is. I think it's a different animal. There needs to be more formalized training on it, and I think it's something that as franchisors are looking at the next wave of franchising coming from existing franchisees, I think some time and effort needs to be dedicated in that area.
Well, this might be a little touchy-feely for you. You know, you're a tough New Yorker living in Texas. I can't do the visual on that. But the question is, what do you mean you kept your head in the sand? Can you share? Are you comfortable sharing what you mean by that? Because I have no idea what you mean by that.
What happens is you rock and roll, and things go very well in the first location, and you get some opportunities presented to you, and you take advantage of them, and you get moving along in the second location. And you just, things go on around you, and you just don't want to face them, whether it be, you know, mismanagement or somebody that you've dedicated or had directed a lot of responsibility to. Just certain things, and it takes your eye off the ball. And I think more importantly, what happens is as you're dealing in one location, you're able to see everything. It's almost like you're standing up on this big stand looking at your entire business, and it's pretty hard not to know what's going on within those four walls. But then you get across town, and you're running back and forth, and you don't really see everything. And then if you suspect something, you say, nah, that can't be happening. It's got to be something else, or you think it's something else, or somebody leads you in a different direction. It's really, really important, as you have multiple locations, to have the operational and financial systems in place that are accurate, that are tested, that are tried and true, that you really, really need to look at and pay attention to. And it was something that, quite frankly, I didn't. I relied a lot on the verbal, and things occurred the way they did, and my business failed. I had gotten up to 5 locations and lost them all.
Wow.
So I took that experience, and, of course, you know, I spent many years before that on the franchise executive side, and just got back in the game from that angle and learned a lot by it, and am now teaching it to a lot of franchisees that are going through some financial difficulties of their own. And I'm proud to say that many of the ones that I've worked with have turned a situation around, or at least exited with some dignity and in a lot better shape than they thought they would have. And I think that the key is having a business plan that, and I think you and I bantered back and forth on this, and I think we even did a little bit of commentary on one of Sean's articles when he was talking about Curves, right? It was Curves, franchise. And I think the key in the business plan, I mean, there's a lot of important elements, obviously, but I think one of the things that is often missed are exit strategies, and I lumped them into two categories. There's the voluntary type, where you say, I'm going to work 10 years, I'm going to retire, I'm going to get into this revenue, I'm going to sell it off, whatever the case might be. That's the voluntary side. But often there's the involuntary side, and that's the side when your hand is forced and you don't really have the options available. So you need to kind of have some systems in place and some strategy in place that, what if I get to this point? What if I get to this point and my capital reserves drop to this level? What happens if sales drops to this level? What happens if a family member, something occurs there that the business is very dependent upon them? You need to put all those in place, and I think that's even more important on a multi-unit level operation because there are so many critical factors.
Well, I'm sure that your experience can definitely benefit some other people, and maybe one of these days you can have one of those franchisees that did make it through this recession and through tough times be a guest for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. So that
That would be great. We'll definitely consider that and see. You know, nowadays too, there's so many resources out on the web. I mean, obviously, you've been blogging about franchising and small business now for, 5 or 6 years online? Is that correct?
25 years, actually.
You've been blogging 25 years?
before the word blog was even known to mankind.
There you go. Okay. You know,
I did it when I was riding my bicycle. Go ahead.
You know, the thing is that, you know, with the internet, you know, obviously, if I look back at my experience and said, you know, if the internet was around then, all those sleepless nights, I probably would have been online and maybe got an idea or two that would have helped me. And when I read Donald's article this morning and him referencing my article, and then right after that I clicked on your site and I saw that you had posted the 20 small business blogs that have the right stuff, I mean, it really hit home for me. Can you explain a little bit of your motivation for publishing those 20 sites?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I knew it.
Well, why wouldn't I?
You know what? I learned from people like Jim Kukral, who's an online marketer. I read a lot of what Chris Brogan, who's just a huge social media guru, I read what he has to say. And the one word is transparency. And whether it's social media discussions or just blogging or just website stuff, it's all about transparency. And because I've been online for probably 6 years now, I've been able to learn from a lot of bloggers. And I just wanted to point out a few so people that might be newer or might just be entering the small business world, either as an executive or as an owner, can also bookmark some great, great articles and some great blogs. So that's why I did it.
I think it's a great resource. I will add the ones that I don't have on there to my own site, my own Franchise Essential site, as a small business resource, because I think the more resources small business owners and franchisees have, the better off they are. And the key is, everybody that's out there, you know, use the internet, use these resources, and read, and educate yourself as much as you possibly can. You
spread
also
it
have
around. Spread it around.
Oh,
it around.
Absolutely, spread it around. You know, I want to. I know the last time you were on the air, I butchered your blog site address. So I want to say that again. It's www.thefranchisekingblog.com. See, I'm gonna go ahead and bastardize it again.
Thank you too much. I'm telling you.
ThefranchiseKingblog.com. Okay.
There you go. There you
then
go.
And then you also have the franchise blog for the number 4 vets.com, which I think is a great site. And Joel is the one that introduced me to the Made Brigade $1.5 million veterans franchise giveaway with his article with Major Toombs. And I subsequently had an article with Major Toombs as well.
And you did a fine job, General.
He's what?
You did a fine job, General.
Oh, General. Well, and I've gotten some very nice comments from the Made Brigade franchise office through various social media channels, and I really am honored to be part of that program. And I have it also listed on my site on the right-hand side, right above or right below the other franchise resource for the month of August, which is a spot on Joel Labava's Franchise King blog site. Can you explain a little bit about that to the different franchisors that are out there?
Sure. Whoever is a franchisor that's listening, it's not like there's a deadline. Well, maybe there is because tomorrow's the last day of the month. For the entire month of what is coming up, August, you can be the franchisor of the month on the Franchise King blog. And if you want to find out more, you can just email me, thefranchiseking@sbcglobal.net, and I'll give you details. Very, very inexpensive. And remember, when an article is on a blog, it stays there.
Yes, it does. You know, last week on my show, we were talking about the recent article in Entrepreneur Magazine where they mentioned your Green Franchise Directory at greenfranchisedirectory.com, and you were mentioned in an article about green franchises and Entrepreneur, and I highly suggest any franchise candidates that are out there, and I know there are because I know I have a couple of clients that are franchise candidates that are listening to the show and exploring different opportunities. Look at Joel's website at www.greenfranchisedirectory.com. You know, today we talk about franchisees. We talked about failure. I saw a neat thing on CNN this morning. I did not get the franchisee's name, but it was from Bounce U, like Bounce University, a children's recreational franchise. The franchisees were out of Charlotte, North Carolina. They were on CNN today. I'm sure sometime today you'll be able to find the clip of it. But it talked about how small businesses get creative to not only hang on, but in their case, as the economy started going down and they had all their resources dedicated to it, they went ahead and did some things outside the box. They did some good grassroots marketing, word-of-mouth marketing, or as I like to call it, get-off-your-ass marketing. instead,
I like that.
You like that, huh? And instead, they increased their business since the economy started going down by 20% and are very proud to say they've had no layoffs. So my hat and your crown goes off to them because that's a tremendous success story right there. And I highly recommend everybody look on CNN for that video. You know, we have a new feature to announce on the show today. Again, with the inspiration from CNN, and I'm going to call it the 30-second pitch. Starting next week, any transitioning franchise executives, managers, operations, personnel, or anything to do with franchising, if you would submit through our blog site a 30-second audio of your personal elevator speech and why you should be hired by a franchise organization, we'll go ahead and post one and announce it on the show each week on the Franchise Essential Show, which airs Thursdays at 1 p.m. Central Time. We'll also have a section on the blog site as we accumulate several of the audio pitches, and we'll put them on there as well. And this way, different franchise companies have an opportunity to look at it. Also, on the announcements, I'd like to remind everybody about franchiseexecutives.com. I highly encourage any franchise professionals, whether you're looking for a job or whether you're in the industry and want to share information. It's a great new social network. That's Franchise Executives at www.franchiseexecutives.com. Last week, I didn't have Joel on the show because I knew we would be tied up with John Carlston of Process Peak, so I apologize for that, Joel. I had that scheduled way in advance.
No, it's okay. Paul, I have no feelings. It's fine.
You have no feelings whatsoever.
Don't worry about it.
No feelings whatsoever.
But wait a second. Because what was the name of that? Get off your what? I need to write that down. What is that?
Get off your ass marketing. It's the same as outside the box, word of mouth, grassroots, guerrilla marketing.
Get off your ass marketing. All right, hold on. One more. Hold on. I'm serious. Hold on.
That's ASS.
You just got the domain, dude. I just bought the domain for you.
Okay. Thanks. Well, last week I had John Carlson of Process Peak on the show. And we mentioned on the air a webinar that's coming up that's being put on, Proven Best Practices for Awarding Franchises, webinar with Shelley Sun of Bright Star Healthcare. It's next week. It's a series of best practice webinars.
Awesome.
And in it, you know, basically they'll talk about, you know, applying the very same principles that doubled the number of their franchise awarded by Bright Star in the first 120 days with Process Peak. Information will be posted on the Franchise Essentials blog site. It's also on the right-hand section under Process Peak. Just click on the link. I made mention of the Frantelligence webinar series. That's a series presented by Franchise Business Review, Armin Dietrich, and by Franchise Essentials. Yesterday was the introductory track. And next week, or 2 weeks from now, on August 11th, we're starting with the marketing track, which will have four different series on August 11th, 18th, 25th, and September 1st. And there will also be the development series, which will be the marketing will be done on Tuesdays, and of the same week, there will be a corresponding track, which is the development track, on Thursday, August 13th, 20th, 27th, 3rd. These are not the same webinars. There will be eight distinctly different webinars in the month of August leading into the first week of September, and four of them are on marketing and using social media to connect with your customers, and the development will be how social media can build your franchise. Boy, that is a mouthful. Speaking of mouthfuls, Joe, are you still there? Okay.
I resemble that remark.
You resemble that remark? Okay, that's what I thought. Hey, looking at LinkedIn, big part of social media, I noticed a couple of different discussions. I don't know if you saw them or not. Chad Cohen, account director at Fish Consulting, wrote on LinkedIn, "The global recession has weeded out competition and exposed vulnerabilities. What's left is customer service. Honesty builds credibility and must be the foundation for franchise performance. Joel, do you have any thoughts on that?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, once again, it's total transparency. You know what? If you've lost a couple franchisees because of the recession, if you're the franchise CEO, it's okay to talk about it. You know, don't necessarily have to write an article about it, but when you have prospective franchisees coming to visit franchise headquarters, you know what? It's okay to say, look, you know, I mean, it's in the disclosure document, but, you know, we lost like 7 franchise owners in the last 7 months, and it wasn't their fault, it wasn't our fault. You know, the economy's really tough. It's okay to say stuff like that. You've got to be honest from day one. And you also have to have the courage to be honest enough to say to someone, you know what, you're not right for our franchise organization. It's nothing personable. You know, nothing personal. You just aren't the right fit. But you know what? A lot of franchisors, unfortunately, you know what, they cash that $30,000 franchise fee, and a year and a half later, the franchisee's gone. So it's a cycle that hopefully, you know, people like us that are serious about this can help stop.
Right, absolutely. Well, Chad has some good comments and some good commentary on his blog site, which is at fishonfranchising.blogspot.com. Good article, very good article. And that article also is on one of the LinkedIn franchise groups.
Good article, lousy URL. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well,
true.
To each his own. I haven't figured out why they call it fish on franchising, on consulting. Whatever.
Consulting. That's
Yeah.
But it's a nice site. It is.
Fish on franchise. Yeah. As I was saying yesterday in the webinar series, you know, it's all about the content. It really doesn't matter about the spellings. It really doesn't matter about the appearance. It's all about the content, and that's the important thing. Another one from Carl French, who's a business advisor in the UK, the Kingdom of Kings, right? Or Queens now, right? I guess there were kings at one time. He writes, many potentially good franchisees, especially those with sound experience and good qualifications, never look at franchising because of negative perceptions. What's the answer? He adds, I'm not asking anyone to give away commercial secrets, but are there any ideas we could all share to help franchising draw in these people? For instance, I recently had a desk at a jobs fair and found people considering self-employment were very receptive to franchising once briefed a bit. I mean, I've seen that time and time again. I know working with some leads that wind up coming to me through different sites that are interested in opening their own business, and when franchising is initially discussed, they almost look at it like the used car business.
Yeah, it's true. I've heard so many times that, why would I want to get a franchise, Joel? The franchises make all the money, and yada yada. How do you know? I mean, we're, you know, it's got to be fact-based. Perceptions are really, really hard to change. But, you know, typical perception of a franchise is flipping burgers or making sub sandwiches. That's okay, but there's other stuff too.
Right, absolutely. And I do think, you know, this show always refers to franchising in social media, and I think social media used correctly is really going to be a great way of sharing information with individuals that might be exploring entrepreneurship and get them to understand a little bit more about the franchising industry and the franchising business model. I think it's important. I think it's important that schools of higher education teach a little bit more about entrepreneurship and franchising, and there's too many people that, you know, read the book, you know, Behind the Golden Arches, or read Dave Thomas's book about Wendy's, and that's their entire perception of the big boys in franchising, and then they hear the horror stories, but there's such a gap in between beyond the, you know, flipping burgers and making subs, as you referred to.
Absolutely, absolutely correct, and it's up to folks like us to try to change the perceptions, but by being straightforward and telling people that, you know what, you might fail. You might.
Yeah, there always is that chance of failure. Nobody wants to accept it. And I think today's franchise candidate, being more sophisticated, technologically advanced, and better educated than ever before looking at franchises, hopefully they're doing their due diligence, and as they take the plunge, they understand what they're getting involved with. They understand what they're going to need to do, both as a business and both personally, to make it happen. And again, I refer to get off your ass marketing, because as good as your brand is, it's still going to take effort on your part to bring people to your business. So get off your ass marketing is definitely the words of the day. Now, Catherine Rooks, who's a very fine franchise attorney at FSB Legal. It's a virtual legal firm. She's out of Atlanta, Georgia, I believe, and she's written a couple of articles on my site. She writes, in this tough economy, what incentives? Well, let me preface this by. We mentioned before that there's a lot of franchise companies that are banking on a big part of the future of franchising on current franchisees of today, whether they be, you know, single or multi-unit franchisees and taking on more franchises. Well, Catherine brings up a good point about area development schedule. So she writes, in this tough economy, what incentives or assistance can a franchisor provide that would encourage a developer to develop more stores or accelerate their development schedule? And I don't know, I want to say this is ironic, but the VP of Marketing Development at Bennigan's, who we know just emerged from bankruptcy,
right,
commented, lower or waive upfront fees, lower royalties for a period of time after opening, help them find and negotiate leases if relevant, and help them find and negotiate financing. He says, none of them are easy and fun, but all doable. The last may be the biggest hurdle. Finding financing now is a chore and scares off a lot of people. I'm just wondering, with the 4 points that he brought out, if the new Bennigan's model is actually getting involved in it, or if this is a personal opinion. Do you happen to have any insight into that, Joel?
I have no idea. It's a good question. I wonder if they have lower royalties. You know, I've always been from the school of thought that, you know, when someone becomes a franchisee, the first 3 months they shouldn't even have to pay royalties. I mean, I know that the franchisors that are not, you know, that are on the call right now and on the radio that are listening might not like that. But, I mean, I just think it's nickel and diming anyway. You know, mentally, psychologically, I think it would be good to join a franchise organization as a franchisee and not have to worry about, you know, a few $100 in royalty payments every month for the first 3 months. It just psychologically seems like, boy, this franchisor really gets it and they really want me to be successful. Just my opinion.
Well, Chris Cheek, the VP of Franchise Development at Brugger's, another food service franchisor, says, in fact, you have to approach the identification and selection of franchise sites as if they were a corporate site. You have to lead a horse to water. And he says, contradictory to what you're saying, as opposed to waiving or lowering fees, you can get the same end, yet still make sure that the franchisee is using the bonus funds to drive the brand. For example, every month earlier than the development deadline that a franchisee opens, you could credit $2,000 of the franchise fee towards grand opening marketing. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, if anybody is watching CNN right now, there's that bouncing for success about the Bounce You franchisee. It's on the air right now. Anyway, he goes on to say, this ensures that the franchisee doesn't use the found money to take a cruise, but rather invested in driving sales, which helps both the franchisor and the franchisee. I like that last line. It helps both the franchisor and the franchisee because, boy, it's so important that everybody everybody realize franchise relationships should be interdependent. They need to be, the success needs to be dependent upon each other. And truly, everybody needs to stick behind, you know, hey, this is family, you know, and treat it like family.
Let me ask you, Paul, what do you think of the idea that I just mentioned, that the first 3 months should be on the house?
Well, you know, it's really not a windfall for the franchisor, because starting out their franchise fees, unless it's, you know, a Carl's Jr.'s, I heard, you know, one of them just opened up, and the grandson of the founder of Carl Jr.'s had a record sales. So putting aside those cases, most of the time starting out, especially in a service-type franchise or a B2B-type franchise,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to take them 3 or 4 months to get up to speed, so the royalties really aren't that much. I know there are some out there that have a flat rate or a percentage, whichever is greater for the first year. I don't think it's out of line to state that they should have royalty fees waived for the first 3 to 6 months. I think it's something that makes sense, and if it makes them stronger. Now, that being said, having run franchise organizations, what I would rather see happening, as opposed to them keeping that money in their pocket, I would rather take those royalties and have them earmark it for some additional marketing in their area.
Yeah, local marketing. Yeah, that's not a
right.
Good idea.
And
yeah.
And it helps with the effort, and it should
yeah.
be, and I don't think it should go up to the franchisor to be put into the national campaigns.
I
think it should go to his own individual local efforts.
Right.
To complement, get off your ass marketing.
Absolutely. Oh, can we interrupt for a minute? What is the weather forecast going? What's going on in Houston? You told me there were some thunder bumpers. Are they around?
Yeah, we got thunderstorms right now. We had some heavy rain as the show started. Certainly not enough. I know if people seen on the air yesterday about Lake Travis in Austin. There are boats literally sitting on the banks with no water under them. We are in a serious drought.
My brother lives in Austin. He said it is unbelievable. Now, all kidding aside, the residents of Austin get their fresh water from Lake Travis.
Yeah.
This is not good.
No, not good at all. Another reason why people should look at green franchises and go to your website.
That's right. Well, you are strong. I'm going to write that one down, too. Oh, Paul, a mention of his websites. Good. Okay, go ahead.
You know, speaking of my website,
yeah.
I'll use any segue that I can get. I saw an article online, an online social networking blog by Larry Brauner of upstate New York, just outside the city. And he had an interesting article about the high cost of complacency. And I know I mentioned that I wouldn't talk about social media sins, I'll just say that this can happen in different ways. He mentions 4 good points. You know, for everybody out there that might be sitting around saying, do I stick my toe in the water of social media or not? He says, companies that neglect their social media presence will suffer in several ways. 1, they'll have no influence over their online reputation. 2, their customers will view them as backward. I know yesterday Ginny mentioned that 93% of all people surveyed expect businesses to have an online presence through social media. 93%, that's huge.
It is huge.
3, they won't receive traffic from social media sites. And 4, they'll receive less search engine traffic too. Matter of fact, Larry's article talked about the new wave of search engine optimization and all the ways that were done before, although they are still important, social media can really drive up your traffic. And if anybody that's out there that is writing a blog or anything like that that really wants to know how to get some results and to gain some traffic, I highly recommend you contact Joel. He's been doing it longer than everybody in the franchising industry, and I'm sure he'll be happy to work with you and help your organization get a little bit more search engine optimization on your blog site.
Absolutely. And if I can't do exactly what someone wants personally, man, I know a lot of people that can.
And that's the whole thing. It's knowing the resources. You know, as Lee Iacocca once said, a man isn't as smart by what's between his ears. It's what he can put his fingers on. And it's grab that information at his fingertips, and that's very important to remember. I know this morning, and I'll probably ask Joel about this after the show, I went crazy with Stumble Upon, one of the great tools, blog. And I've been going crazy trying to get a certain aspect of my toolbar to work. And,
oh, yeah, it'll work.
So, you know, we all run into problems. That's the great thing about social media. It's, again, like Joel said, it's transparency. There's, you know, people are going to look the other way when you make mistakes. If they're easily corrected. And it's funny today, somebody had referenced Franchise Essentials on their blog site, and they made it as Franchise and Essentials, two words. And I dropped them a line and said, hey, thanks. But, you know, Franchise Essentials for the Future has a common E. It's one word, blah, blah, blah. I swear it wasn't 20 seconds after I sent that email. It was corrected. And that's the great thing about the ease of making these corrections in blogs. You know, talking about social media as is one of the backbones of this show. Joel, I heard that the IFA, the International Franchise Association, has set up a task force on social media.
Task force is kind of an overpowering word to me anyway. It scares me. It sounds complicated. But you've been on those. I actually am on one in Cleveland for something right now, but those are kind of scary words.
Well, why do you think they're scary words?
I
mean, do you think they're scary words in general, or do you think they're scary words because the IFA is involved?
I'm not going to touch B, but A, A, I will say it's scary because it just sounds like too much damn work.
I think so, but I am happy, and you know, every industry needs an association, and the IFA does some good out there, and they are good for some franchisors. But I think it's just interesting that it's taken so long to set up any type of committee or task force, whatever they want to put.
No,
it's just been around for such a while that I'm surprised it took so long. But, hey, at least it's being done. Now, be that as it may, if, and again, that's a big word, Joel, if you were asked to give your advice to the IFA task force on social media, what would it be?
What would it be? It would be to become as transparent as social media is to begin with. How's that? Pretty heavy.
Ah, that's impressive. That is very, very impressive.
It's true.
Okay.
Be transparent.
Being you answered that so well, I'll ask you another question. What else?
I would say that I would use Twitter and Facebook and create some grassroots movements to continue lobbying efforts to help small businesses stay in business. I mean, use the power of it.
Yeah, I agree there, and I definitely agree with the transparency. I think they have an uphill battle, and I think if they embrace it correctly, if they are sincere in their efforts, and if they reach out to the resources that are available to them, because
right,
all those resources are within the IFA.
Right. Yeah, there's probably three or four people that they can reach out to that know what they're talking about, but they may or may not do it. I don't know.
Well, it'll be interesting to see over the next few months, and I'm sure there'll be some type of report coming out during the IFA convention back in February, or in February.
Where is that at this year?
San Antonio, Texas.
Oh, man. So you're going to go, obviously.
I'll be there. I'm going to have my lemonade stand set up in the lobby and help franchisees and franchisors as best I can.
Do you get that preferred rate?
Yeah, the preferred rate I get is called a friend's house.
Ah, there you go. Perfect. Okay. What about the registration? Do you get that preferred rate also?
No, I don't. I'm not a member, and I guess I'll have to pay dearly for it.
Well, wait a second. You're a resident of Texas, right? Why not? You're Texas. They're going to Texas. See what you can do, man. You're strong.
Yeah, right. You know, last week I posted a blog post on what happened to our dreams and goals. Did you happen to read that, Joel?
Yes, I did. I read most of it.
You read most? It was a short article.
Dude, do you know how many people are constantly calling, emailing, Twittering, and Facebooking me while I'm reading articles? I know. I can control that. Go ahead, please tell us about it. I want to hear your take.
My take is, you know, it's very easy to be down in the doldrums, to put your head in the sand, and all those lovely little cliches when business is down or when the economy is down. But, you know, some of the greatest organizations have been formed as a result of recessions and downturns of the economy. And, you know, I used to hear, you know, when Enron was trading at $185 a share and WorldCom was trading at you know, $400 a share and the economy was booming and people were, you know, remodeling their houses for no reason and buying vacation homes and, you know, a third vacation home and elaborate vacation. You know, everybody was talking about, you know, wishes, hopes, and dreams. And it's sad to say that a lot of people, you know, and I understand economics. I certainly do understand economics, and it's hard to put those materialistic things aside. But that being said, I know all our wishes, hopes, and dreams are not only materialistic. And I think it's important that as a industry, we remember that and remember that franchisees have wishes, hopes, and dreams when they came on board as a franchisee. And we can't lose sight of that. We need, as an industry, to look at that and make sure we provide them every possible opportunity of achieving their wishes, hopes, and dreams. And if we do, we will definitely weather the storms.
You're right. But, you know, one thing that always bothered me was, excuse me, I felt that it was always easier when you're the one making money and you're the one that has a fairly huge degree of security to write and spout off about how positive you should be. Now, I'm not referring to you, of course. I mean, I know you live in a palatial mansion in Houston, Texas, but I think it's really important to know the difference, because if you're the person that doesn't have a lot of income coming in, it's not real easy to think about those hopes and dreams and goals, listening to someone that's already attained them and is feeling no pain. And a person that is feeling no pain has attained his or her goals and doesn't have empathy for the situation. And I've been through that many, many times.
Yeah, I've seen it all too often. All too often. Well, you know, that's my little soapbox there. I just hate to see any business fail, and I hate to see anybody have to push aside their wishes, hopes, and dreams. And I believe that franchising is a vehicle to achieve many people's wishes, hopes, and dreams. I don't think anybody, you know, grows up saying, oh, I want to fix mufflers, or, you know, I want to make sandwiches or whatever. It's just whatever they think is going to be the vehicle to help them achieve those wishes, hopes, and dreams. I don't think we need to make sure we never lose sight that the majority of people that get into business are doing so because of their wishes, hopes, and dreams.
That's right. That's right. It's really deep stuff. I mean, on one of my old business cards, I used to have my name and then Life Changer. And it was actually in one of the local business magazines here as, you know, like a really cool title. Because folks like you and me, when we work with candidates that are interested in franchises, even though we use two different ways of doing so, we still have within our grasp, sorry to get so heavy, folks, but within our grasp, we do have that power to actually move someone away from corporate America or from just a negative situation and help them get where they want to go and really change their lives. And that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. You know, yesterday, bouncing back to social media, yesterday I noticed we had some questions on the webinar series about, you know, policies and procedures for social media. And I looked at social media training for employees. I've looked at it for franchisees. And I know Ginny and I will be discussing that at length within our segments of the Frantelligence webinar series. But, you know, social media training I know there are a lot of attorneys out there that don't want organizations, or at least in franchising that I know of, are trying to sway some of the franchisors to hold back on entering the world of social media. And I think, you know, what you said earlier resonates loud and clear with me and should resonate loud and clear with everybody else, Joel, and which is transparency. I just think it's important that people realize social media is here to stay. It's a form of communication. It is a way to share information. It is a way to track information. And it's a way for everybody to be involved throughout the franchise organization, throughout the system, throughout the industry. I just think it's important, and we just need to continue to embrace it.
Yeah, absolutely true. Transparency, that's definitely the thing that I have probably learned the most from being online and getting involved with social media.
Yeah, it's really important. Anyway, Tasty Delight. What do you know about Tasty Delight? I know a little bit about them, just because I've seen so much on social media about them. What a fabulous success story, and I think a lot of it has to do with social media. I mean, yesterday, before the webinar, I was online doing some research about Tasty Delight. I stopped at 75 pages of search results, and it wasn't just typical corporate propaganda. I mean, it was fun to read. It was exciting. If I was a customer, I would be looking at them. If I was a franchise candidate, I would be looking at them. If I had any inspiration towards an entrepreneurial direction, I would be looking at them. I mean, they are just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, they're every place on social media.
Yeah, I see them in a lot of places. The gals over at Sanderson PR have the Daily Franchise News blog, and a lot of Tasty Delight articles are put on that one. And they're doing a heck of a job. I mean, they really are. I mean, this is not a 2,000 unit chain, but they're getting the word out.
Yeah, and it's not something that, you know. You know, it's not, I mean, I understand it's in the food service sector, but I mean, it's not like, you know, taking your people out to dinner. It's not, you know, high ticket items. It's just, they are really, really, really driving traffic to these franchise locations. I mean, the story that Ginny told yesterday, and I know actually it's a case study on Twitter, where they have a location in the Empire State Building, and they go ahead and routinely tweet from the Empire State Building, and you know, people come in, and then they're finding out that you know, more and more people, and they showed how, you know, within a 30 minute time that they had already been tweeted out to almost 2,000 people in 30 minutes from one location, from one tweet. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, another case study that Twitter just did is on a local chain, a local store here in the Houston market called Coffee Grounds. And Grounds is with a Z at the end. And Coffee Grounds is just a small independent coffee shop that is just absolutely taking the market by storm. They use Twitter unbelievably. They're even now, you could walk into their store, sit at a table, and send them a DM, a direct message on Twitter of what you want to drink, and they will bring it to your table. How's that for using technology? And think about all their followers that see that, and now, too, they are, I know tomorrow night is the big Houston tweet up at Coffee Grounds in Houston, and they are very, very much entrenched in social media.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
Don't you have a coffee shop up there in the Cleveland area that's doing similar stuff with social media?
Yeah, Phoenix Coffee House is an independent. They have, I think, six locations now. And they've been doing some stuff with social media. They have, you know, they put it out on Twitter when they have specials and when they have all folk music live at, you know, some of their locations. So it's pretty cool. And I actually, because of Twitter, I actually met the owner of Phoenix. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
Interesting. Very interesting. It seems like, you know, these coffee shops are really embracing it, I guess, because they're really trying to be what Starbucks started out, which was a congregation place. And social media is nothing but virtual congregation.
That's right.
It is.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
It's all good. You know, social media is not to be looked at as being something that's difficult. It is no different than normal relationships. It's just you can manage a hell of a lot more online than you can by getting in your car and going from one place to the next place to the next place. I know that's one of the reasons why I found or how I found social media in working with clients and trying to find new clients. I found that I was, you know, spending so much time in the car, so much time going to meetings, only to, you know, for it to take, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months to put together, you know, a deal and a contract and a relate and build on a relationship. Some of the relationships that have been built online have just been fabulous. I mean, Joel, you and I would not have known each other if it wasn't for social media.
That's right. It's amazing. And you're in Texas, and I'm in Ohio, and it's crazy. I'm meeting people from all over the country, all over the world now. It's just it's so cool.
Do you have any clients that are overseas?
Matter of fact, now that you mention it, I have a gentleman that I'm working with who is currently in Amsterdam. And this is really wild. I'm eating dinner on Tuesday night. The phone rings. The gentleman is from Panama City. And he found me. And he wanted to maybe open a franchise there. And it's actually a pretty cool story. The guy's legitimate, and he has some money, so I might be able to help him out.
That's
cool
interesting.
Stuff.
Do you know when that disaster, that calamity was going on in Mumbai over Thanksgiving when the terrorists mm-hmm. control? I was actually tweeting back and forth with somebody from the hotel while that was
going
on. I mean, that's just it really hit home. It made me enjoy Thanksgiving for the reasons why we should give thanks and stuff like that. Anyway, Joel, we are running out of time. I appreciate you being my guest host today and look forward to future episodes with you.
Yes, we're going to have a lot of fun. And, you know, we're going to try to keep it serious, but it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I want to remind everybody that is a transitioning franchise executive to check out our blog site at franchiseessentials.com, to go ahead and send in their 30-second audio, or you can send it directly to me at segreto.paul@gmail.com. And we look forward to that being a big part of the show moving forward. Again, as you all know, my name is Paul Segreto. Franchise Essentials, and I am pleased to be on here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Time, that's 2 o'clock Eastern Time, on Blog Talk Radio. So have a great day and have a fabulous week, and be safe.